Mr. Hancock.
Hi.
How you doing, sir? It's Corey Hart.
Corey Hart, right on, man. Thank you for taking the time here to join us.
My pleasure.
In Vancouver,
how are things
Canada.
Out there?
Good, man. Yeah, it's a little bit of a chilly morning, but, you know, Vancouver weather, we're doing okay for February.
Yeah. It's actually chilly out here where I am.
Where are you at?
In the Bahamas.
Mm. Come
well,
on,
I mean,
it's not.
Yeah, it's not that chilly.
I was just saying, like, what's chilly for the Bahamas?
Well, they do Fahrenheit here, so it's like 72.
Okay.
So what would, yeah.
I don't 71, know.
71? No, neither do I.
No.
I'm not good at math or weather.
I'm terrible at that as well. Dude, congratulations on the induction into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. What an honor. Of course, we'll talk a ton about
Thank
that. You. Corey, I was hoping to go back to the beginning before you were in any bands. Which bands were your parents playing in the Hart House as a kid growing up?
Two things I got to correct you on. One, I was never in any band. Never was in any band, never wanted to be in a band. I always wanted to be a solo singer-songwriter. And as far as my parents split up when I was young. My dad was never at home, so my mom would play, she would play some classical music.
Oh.
She would be playing classical music, like Debussy or Tchaikovsky and stuff like that. So I really did not hear any music from my family.
Interesting. Okay, so where did you get that influence early on?
It was me discovering when I was 10, we lived in Key Biscayne, Florida, and there was a radio station called WQAM, which was a top 40 radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that radio station and I heard the songs being played on that radio station, I became completely obsessed and engrossed with that little transistor radio that I had by my bed. And mm-hmm. I'd get back from school, I'd put it on, and we had a long car ride to get to school, so I would listen to it in the car as well. And I would go buy my 45s down, there was a little hardware store near where we lived, and I would buy my 45s there that cost probably like 75 cents each. And so that was it. So I was obsessed with American Top 40 and Top 40 radio, and that's where I started my first, you know, dreams of you know, singing and then later to become a writer myself.
Right. And so which were the first few bands to really grab a hold of you?
Well, one of the first songs that I ever bought was Maggie May by Rod Stewart.
Okay.
And I was really struck by the story that he was telling. I didn't even understand a lot of the words from that song. It was words like coy and the morning sun when it's in your face really shows your age. And I remember hearing that line and not really understanding what you know Rod Stewart was actually singing about, but I imagined it was something about an older woman. But I liked the way that lyric sounded, and I thought, wow, I'd love to be able to write, you know, right like that. And I was listening to, I could name you a bunch of songs that I bought when I was a kid, but one of the first bands that I liked was The Police.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager.
Wow. Yeah. They were just at a different, almost on a different plane.
Yeah, because you know what? It's three musicians. So it's bass, drums, and guitar and Sting's vocals, and they created such a sound, a unique sound with the three of them, the mm-hmm. combination of the three of them. Even though Sting was the, you know, the sole songwriter, you know, the sound of what the Police created by those, you know, other musicians and the three of them together was really unique. And they took a lot of Bob Marley, you know, vibe from the reggae influences that they had in their tracks, but it really jumped out at me as a teenager hearing them.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it was one of those bands that back in the days of Good Rockin' Tonight and, you know, those video shows, their videos really stood out as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's, you know, they had a lot of fun in their videos, their early ones from the first couple of records, but, you know, he's got a very strong stage and, you know, camera presence, you know, Sting does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the camera likes him, and he likes the camera.
And what was your first concert?
My first concert. Another good question. I didn't see a concert till, I think my first concert was Billy Joel.
Wow, that's a bar.
Yeah. at the Forum in Montreal, and I saw a couple of other shows. I didn't go to a lot of concerts, truthfully. I really didn't. I remember being at that one for sure because, you know, that was a very important night for me because I'd left some cassette tapes for the members of the band and Mr. Joel, and I was up in the rafters, and I'd left some cassette tapes of my songs for hopefully for them to listen to and call me.
And did it happen?
It did happen. It did happen. You know, I went to the show, I went back home, yeah, and went to bed and was thinking about the show and just remembering everything that I'd seen. And then about an hour and a half later, the phone rang, and it was a saxophone player calling me, telling me that he'd listened, thought the music was cool, and come down, you know, to the hotel. We're having a couple of drinks at the bar, and we can have a chat.
Wow.
I was like, fuck. I go, fuck, yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
You got to try things in life.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Like Gretzky says, you miss all the shots you don't take.
Well, he didn't miss many.
Right. Corey, of course, when I said that you were going to be a guest of the podcast, as you might imagine, there's a ton of fan questions, and I want to get to some of them. Rob says, ask him if there's an artist that he'd like to work with, and who does he think would do an awesome job of covering his songs?
An artist I'd love to work with. I was just asked that question recently at the Junos. Mm. I did an interview for the Junos, and they asked me from the nominees, well, not the nominees, but for all of the inductees at Canada's Hall of Fame, who would I like to work with? And the first name that came to mind was Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the same answer. So I would love to do something with Sarah.
Boy, she's incredible. What an outstanding career and just amazing person in general.
Yeah, she is. And her voice is just angelic.
I mean,
we listen to her music as a family since my kids were really, really little. And we loved her, you know, her Christmas album. We listened to that every year religiously.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Trevor wants to know, do you believe aliens have visited Earth?
I'm not a Star Wars type of guy. Like, I'm not that type of extraterrestrial. And do I believe aliens have invaded Earth or have visited Earth?
Visited Earth, yeah.
Do I believe aliens have visited Earth? I think there's a lot of aliens on Earth, yes. I think probably half the population are aliens.
All right. There's a little wormhole we're going down here.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that they have, and I think that there's actually aliens living among us. Sure.
Okay, so we're in the same wormhole.
so why not? Yeah. Brad, and this is an interesting question. Brad says, ask him if he's surrendered to the new music model. Everything goes for free. No one respects the artist anymore.
Wow.
I know.
Well, yeah.
Big question.
That is a big, that's a loaded question. Because it's got a lot of implications to it. You know, I think that music today is that you got to play by the rules that, you know, that are out there. And there's a lot of advantages that artists have today that I didn't have back, you know, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know, at social media, for example, you mentioned Good Rocking Tonight. The only opportunity that I had to speak to my Canadian fans is, you know, is if Terry David Mulligan was gracious enough to give me, you know, 30 or 40 seconds to say something to my fans. Now, an artist can pick up his iPhone and write a message to his fans, unfettered, you know, unedited,
right,
and it can reach, you know, every fan from every corner of the world. So there's a great benefit to that. I think that the fact that nobody can buy records anymore and that they don't buy records anymore, which is, you know, I guess, raised the prices of ticket concerts. You know, I think that's sad. I think there was always, I remember as a kid, we were talking about that, just, you know, going down and buying my 45s. I loved that feeling of holding it in my hand. So I think the new generation are missing out on that experience, but, you know, you got to move with the times.
Mm-hmm. Alexandra says, please ask him, as an artist and a musician in this ever-changing industry and audience landscape, which are his most powerful personal examples in his own life of how he's, quote, never surrendered?
That's a good question. Well, I'd say that when I was a young boy, I saw my dad do things that I didn't really know my dad very well, but when I did see him, I saw him do a lot of drugs, and I saw him, you know, whore around a lot, and so I said from 13 years old, I said, you know, I'm never going to do drugs. I'm never going to drink, and I'm never going to, you know, never going to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've never surrendered.
Great. To this day, no drugs, nothing.
Wow. I never touched it. So, and it, you know, we were just having that discussion. I was having that talk with my son, who just turned 15.
Okay.
And I was saying to him, because he knows that I don't drink and that I don't do drugs and I never have. And, you know, like, I know that wine is good for you. So I probably should take a couple glasses of wine every few meals. and there's nothing wrong with drinking in moderation, but I just, to answer her question, like, when I made up my mind, I said, it's either all or nothing. I'm going to be pretty regimented about this. And so I never wanted to touch it. So I was asking my son, like, because he said he was going to go out to some, you know, little beach party this weekend. And I said, are the kids drinking out there? And he goes, yeah, some of them are. I go, do you feel pressure? And he goes, Daddy, you know I'm like you.
Right.
So it's that, like,
doesn't fall far from the tree.
I felt good when he said that.
That's good, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mike says, what TV or Netflix shows are you binge-watching lately?
Well, I watched one last year called Future Man. That's because I was in it.
Okay. Nice. were you happy with how it turned out?
I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, it's not the kind of show that I would have ever watched, because I'm not into that type of show. But I thought it was really cool the way the character co-opted my whole persona, and, you know, I was written into a lot of the episodes. So I was flattered by it, and I thought it was entertaining.
Right.
But I watched stuff like, we watched Ozark last year.
Oh, great really, show.
Yeah,
great
I
show.
Really liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that it really had me, like, my wife was saying, we can't watch it all in like 3 days. I just said, play another one.
It's the way it works, though. Yeah, it's the way it works.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I like biographies, too. So I just got through watching Ken Burns' biography from 2014 on the Roosevelts.
Okay.
I know everybody's probably going to snooze when they hear me say that, but I like historical figures.
Right.
So I like watching that.
I like the biographies as well. Not necessarily the historical, politically driven, but like the Eagles.
The music ones?
You know, have you seen that one? The Eagles were there, you know.
No,
dude, it is so good. It is incredible. Think of the times when they were, you know, recording all this stuff. Like the huge cameras in the 70s would be like 50, 60 pounds. Board feeds, they're in limos on stage. Like, it is insane. How good it is, it's incredible, Corey.
What's it called?
Just the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
I'll check it out.
It's really good, dude. Carol has a couple questions. She says, what musical dreams do you have yet to realize? And also, which moments are you most proud of in your career?
What musical dreams have I yet to realize?
Big questions again.
Yeah, you're giving me... You're giving me some. You know why the questions are so good? It's because they're coming from fans, from your
fans.
Listeners.
Totally.
And no offense to the people to put together your show or other shows, but sometimes, more often than not, fans have such an interesting take and observation on things. For example, Jim Cuddy is guest vocaling on. He does the guest vocals features on one of the songs on my EP called First Rodeo. And that was through a fan that it came about.
Really?
Organically through a fan suggesting it on Facebook, and I picked up on it. I saw what she was writing, and I said, you know what? I think she's got a great idea. So getting back to Carol's question, I don't think there's any musical dream that I haven't achieved or fulfilled. I would say that to keep writing would be my dream, to be able to keep writing songs and to keep trying to, you know, pursue and perfect my craft as a songwriter. And what am I most proud of? I think I'm most proud of the fact that I always remain true. That's another thing about Never Surrender, to answer the other fans' question of me not doing drugs or drinking, was to always stay true to writing my own words and music 100%, because there's a lot of pressure for me to co-write with other people or take outside songs, and I really stayed true to the fact that, you know, when fans bought my records, they knew that you were getting 100%, you know, Corey Hart.
Steve says, which superpower would you want to have?
Math skills. Of which I have none.
Oh, that's awesome.
What about you?
Wow. Never had the question turned on me. Teleportation would be awesome.
Okay, well, what is teleportation?
So, like, go from, like, I could be right now sitting beside you doing the interview. Just boom.
Okay.
I teleport somewhere.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. That would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
That is super cool, because I much prefer, by a thousand times, doing interviews looking at you
100% as well. I mean, this is good, but I would way prefer to be right
here. So let's do something when I come to Vancouver. Why don't you come by at Soundcheck and let's do something there?
I 100% would love to do that.
Okay, because it'll be much better, because I don't even talk on the phone. One of the things I do like about, you know, today is you could write things down on email and you could read words and stuff, but I never liked the phone when I was a kid, and I don't like the phone now. So
well, you're doing a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, well, they're telling me I got to jump off.
Okay, can I ask you two more questions?
Sure, Todd.
Quickly, how long have you known Kenny Arnoff?
I've known Kenny since 1990. That was the first record we did together at Rumble Studios in Los Angeles.
Because wow, is he an incredible performer?
Yeah, he's a beast.
Wow.
And he's also, there's so much joy. If you watch the video for Dreaming Time again, just watch him, because there's just joy emanating from his face as he plays.
Yeah.
And it's not a contrived thing. He just loves his instrument.
Right. Well, as a drummer, I watch him and I'm just in awe. I mean, he's just that good. The last question, it's an oddball one, Corey. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Whoa, man. You're really killing me on this. Speaking of near death, oh man, have I ever had a near death experience? Yeah, I almost did in Spain, coming out of a little greasy spoon where they sold fried chicken, and it was a very, very narrow street, and at the last second, a lady tapped me on the shoulder and pulled me back, because I was walking out onto the street with all the chickens, because my kids were waiting in the car on the other side of the street, and I wanted to rush to them to bring the chickens, and a car just whizzed right by. Had she not tapped me on the shoulder, I would have gone straight into that car.
Wow. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, I lost my appetite for the chicken, but there you go. That was
awesome.
It.
Dude, thank
all
you.
All right, man. So, check with some, I guess is it Charlotte out there?
It would be Charlotte, out here.
Yeah, so check with Charlotte, and we'll do a face-to-face.
Dude, that would be amazing.